Blog Talk Radio.
Praise ye the Lord, for he is worthy of honor, he is worthy of glory, he is worthy of all praise. On this glorious and victorious day it is, Sunday, July the 19th, 2020, you tune into the Manna of Restoration, brought to you live on the Blog Talk Radio Network. And let me tell you something, we are going to explore the very healing mantle of God and how God moves in a way that no man can explain. Just experience the miracles of his power and of his presence. And as a way of praise of going into our broadcast today, we're going to join the New Jersey Mass Choir saying that, hey, there is no failure in God. Lift up your hands and give praise unto the Most High God of our universe, Yahweh, Jehovah. He is our God. He is our creator. He is our keeper. He is our restorer. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. He is our God. And there is no failure in him. We know that sometimes mankind makes promises that they don't keep. But nevertheless, there is no failure in God. Can you sing along with the choir saying, there is no failure in him?
Oh,
Glory to his precious and wonderful name. There is no failure in God. Let me tell you something. When you trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding, and in all of your ways, I'm a testimony, acknowledge him, he will direct your path, and whatever the situation is in your life, he will work it out, because all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Are you called according to his purpose today? Are you seeking to fulfill his purpose in your life? I'm wondering today, are you? Are you truly seeking God for his power and his presence? Well, if so, you know that Jesus has already worked it out. When you let go and let God, the miraculous will take place. The unexpected will take manifestation. Listen to the powerful words of this song by Sister Diane Williams saying Jesus will work it out.
Don't stop.
Mr. Williams, along with the Cosmopolitan Choir, gave us a powerful message today, saying that Jesus will work it out. And if every example of every one of God's children is up in hand, he fixed the situation and gave them the victory. And oh, I love this part of the song when he said, Pharaoh, God said, let my people go. Today, in this day and time, this world is shifting. This chain of events, speaking by the power and authority of the Holy Spirit, pharaohs of this land, the holding God's people captive, trying to put them on the foot, you better heed the warning. Let God's people go. Let them go. Let them flow. Let them go. So they can prove the power of God's position and his presence today. And it's a warning to those who are trying to capture and hold God's people. God said in his word, don't touch mine anointing. Don't do my prophets any harm. It would be better to take a millstone and put it around your neck and cast yourself into the ocean than just to offend one of my little ones. So you better step out the way and let God take the platform in his people's lives. God is doing the miraculous at this time. He's doing the unexpected at this time. He is doing the meticulous at this time. And you're talking about the power of God moving? This is an opportune place and an opportune time. God had to allow the agenda of mankind to be interrupted so that he could intercede, that he could progress, that he could reconnect families and children back together again in the household through home-based learning. Amen? He had to close the institutions down. They're going to remain closed because he needed to restructure the family and the communicable unit so that he could get the glory, that he could get the presence within these various factions of society. So God is wise and in charge. He's already worked this out. And we just thank him for just being God, and beside him, there is none other. Let me tell you something. Those that are standing, waiting, believing, and trusting, we are going to experience miraculous intervention. We're going to experience the greatness, the height, the depth, and the breadth of God himself. And oh, it's an exciting time to be a believer. That's right. It's not about religious associations nor affiliations. It's about having a one-on-one relationship with God. Having that intimacy factor of status. This is what God wants from his children. He's not a doctrine. He's not an organization. He's not a building. God is a spirit. And they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. And Jesus told us that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he that the Son has set free is free, and free indeed. And when you're free, you can go where you want to go, do as you please, as long as you're not hurting anyone or breaking any laws. You have no boundaries set. When you're not free, when you're in chains or in bondage, you're limited in the capacity of your movement. But all when you're free, you have the capacity, the ability to go above and beyond the boundaries that we're free to. And we just thank you, Father God, on this glorious and victorious morning it is. You have done the miracle. You said we would decree a thing and it shall be established, and that your light would shine upon us. And that your word will not return unto you void, but accomplish the purpose and which it was set out for. And as Lord, we go forth with the manner of restoration, the healing mantle, wherein that you heal the land from sea to shining sea, from mountain and hill divine, from throughout the world to the global. Let your presence go.
can take food that we make from us and give testimony that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. And Father God, we thank you for touching those bodies that have been affected from various types of conditions and maladies. We speak the name of Jehovah Rapha, God our healer. Throughout the bloodstream, throughout the internal organs, we speak Jehovah Rapha, God our healer. We speak in the authority of the name of Jesus, our Lord of Lords, our King of Kings, our Master of each and everything. We speak to those broken emotions, those mental instabilities. We speak Jehovah Rapha. We speak in the authority of the name of our Lord. Throughout the various habits and bondage experienced here and now, we speak Jehovah God our King through the authority in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, that they rise up and be through spiritual bondage and grace, Lord. So many have been damaged through congregations, through false doctrines, through false teachers and associations. They have been destroyed and broken. But we speak Jehovah God our King in the authority and in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you for that healing being made manifest. So the broken financial situations and job circumstances, we speak the name Jehovah, Lord God our King. Through the authority in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, it is done, it is mended, it is brought forth. They are delivered, we are delivered, we are more than conquerors through you that love us. And we praise you, we acknowledge you, we exalt you, O Lord. We thank you for just being God, and we thank you, there is none other. We're asking that you bless each and every listener on this morning, or afternoon, wherever they are, Lord. It may be midnight, it may be nighttime, but we know that wherever your spirit is, there is liberty there. Wherever your presence is, there are blessings and deliverance and healing. And Father God, we just thank you. We love you. We praise you. We adore you. And we worship you. And God bless your son, Jesus Christ. Father God, he is our Lord. He is our Lord. He is our Lord. He is our Lord. And we thank you for God bless your son, Jesus Christ. And God. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. And just thank God for those of you who have tuned in and want the very best that God has to offer on the Mount of Restoration that he has mantled. When we think about healing, we're talking about being made whole, being able to beyond the expectations that others have set, even we ourselves have set. Being healed means that you have been made complete. You are balanced. You are harmonious. And when we think of the term disease, that means the dis-ease that's within the physiology of the human family, or with even more intimate, the human body itself. Well, we know that Jesus went about and he healed those who were afflicted, and he spake unto them, saying, according to your faith be it unto you, not according to your self-righteousness or your name or your title. He said, according to your faith. And we've been talking for the last couple of weeks about the institution, the power of faith, how faith is the magnet that draws you to the supernatural realm to experience the very miracles of God. That's right. And with faith, we're able to destroy the very arsenals within this present-day society, the very hindrances are decimated through our faith, because we're putting our confidence in God the Almighty. And he loves us when we call him Lord God Almighty. We're giving him recognition for who he already is. He don't need to validate anything to us. He's already been validated. But we need to let him know that we respect who he is and his validation. And the problem is that we've allowed mankind to manipulate and to monopolize upon us and to get us distracted from God.
and to get us distracted from the power of God and get us distracted from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, who is sovereign over all. And God has allowed things to happen where we got to go back to that old landmark, the origin of our greatness and our beginnings, because He willed through the very testimony of Apostle Paul that we prosper in all things and be in good health. This is a testimony of God's presence. When we're in good health, we're testifying unto Him that God has kept me. God has healed me. He keeps me well. He keeps me alive. He said, with long life will I satisfy ye. That means 70 years is the promise that God gives every human being, at least 70 years. Anything beyond 70 years, it's God's amazing grace. And I'm praising God and trusting God. I want to see a whole century. That's right. I can testify to my great-great-great-grandchildren and my great-grandchildren and to my great-grandchildren. I want to be able to testify to the other generations about the power of God, and I will. What about you? It's not all about what you are and who you are. It's about whom it is that you love and whom you worship that makes your life complete. Sometimes we build our confidences upon our children and our employment provisions. We build upon our finances, our materialistic gain. But Jesus said to us, what profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It profit him nothing. That means that he give all himself to do all these things. What if there's a stock market crash? What if that job establishment is no longer available? What if those lucrative finances are no longer flowing in? If your confidence is on all those things, then your life has ended. You're at a very bleak position in your existence. That's why we don't trust in those things. Those things are benefits that God gives us, an extension of His greatness, of His kindness, of His mercy. Thank God for financial prosperity. Thank God for the materialistic provisions He has given me and to given you. Thank God for having a decent place to live. Thank God for having available transportation. Thank God for having the utilities up and operating. Thank God for food. All that we have should go back as a testimony unto God. And God's going to get His glory. Sometimes He allows things to come in to humble us, to take us back, to show us how we progress. And with only progression was because of His mercy, not because anything we did, not because anything we thought we did or who we are, because when you boil it down, there's only one name given unto heaven whereby men must be saved. And that is the name of Jesus, Jesus Christ. And in His name, every knee must bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. So it's in the name of Jesus that we have these wonderful things made manifest in our lives because of God's loving kindness and tender mercy. And just thank God for you today as we're going into the Word. We're going into the fourth chapter of the Gospel of St. John. We're talking about the healing mantle, the healing mantle. This is going to be a continuum until God says otherwise, because we need to understand something. You can have all of these provisions in your life, but if your body is broken, you have a condition medically or a condition psychologically or mentally, or you have an emotional condition, those things don't even matter. The balance has been interrupted. The agenda has been realigned. And things do not flow with the appropriation as what we anticipated, and we need them to flow. So it's important that we always take our vision back to the area of where of all we see the very projection of life and how life has to circumference itself around a sure foundation. And that sure foundation that our lives should be built upon is the power of God through Jesus Christ. Go with us to the fourth chapter of the Gospel of St. John, and this was the Gospel to humanity. You know, Matthew was the Gospel to the Jewish people. Mark was the gospel to the Romans. Luke was the gospel to the Greeks. And John is the gospel to mankind in general. That means we were not of the Hebrewic nation or nationality. We were called Gentiles. That's right. It is the gospel to the Gentiles. And this message is brought to them. You think about gospel, you think about good news. You think about a publication that reflects upon hope, upon love, upon positive imagery, but at the same time, it relevates definitive truths that need to be adhered to in order to attain these most needful and necessitable presences in our life. And let's go to the very verse of number 11. The woman saith unto him, this is Jesus. Let's go back to number 10 so you can get a more clarifying picture of what is happening here. And you already know from the emphasis, stages and stages, that when you see the highlighting in the Bible, which I only use the original King James Version, is that the highlighting specifies the very words that Jesus spake. And you know that the Holy Scriptures were all in Hebrewic and was translated to Aramaic from the Dead Sea Scrolls. So the King James is considered the only original text that actually translated into the English language. It said, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is, saith to thee, give me to drink. Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the whole thing here, Jesus is asking a woman, she is a Samaritan, for water. Now, according to the lineage of the Samaritans, they were considered as Gentiles, and in some aspects, they were considered as a heathen-type nation. That's right, because when you think about the Samaritans, you think about the Philistines, and you know the Philistines do some very, very questionable characters, such as Delilah and Goliath, and we look at the perplexity of their cultural bearing, and we say, oh my goodness. And then you would actually ask yourself, you read into the ninth verse, you would see Jesus encountering this woman, knowing who Jesus is and was, why would he come to someone like a Samaritan woman? But see, the gospel is to embrace all nationalities. See, there is no Jew or no Greek, no bond or no free when God looks at us. He looks at us through the loving eyes of Jesus Christ. When we take on the name of Jesus, we become reunited with him as his beloved children. He says, Jesus said to her, if you knew who I was, you would give me the drink because I would give you in exchange for your natural water, spiritual water that would constantly refresh you, revive you, and renew you on a perpetuating basis. It wouldn't be a one-time event only. This would be a continuum. The 11th verse, the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. That means you don't have a cup. I have nothing. And she didn't even have a bucket. He said, and you don't have a bucket to draw with. And the well is deep. From whence thou hast living water. So what is she saying? That means you don't have anything on you in which you can take and to dip into the well to bring you the water up. So what am I going to do? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. She's saying to him, well, you know, aren't you greater than Jacob? He came with the very provisions to attain that water, to quench his thirst, and to provide some emphasis as to what was going on and what was taking place. But oh, she didn't just really acknowledge who Jesus was as of yet. And here it's coming. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He said, now, while you're talking about this natural water, yet Jacob had provisions where he could drink of the natural water. And nevertheless, the natural water will only sustain your thirst periodically on a short term or a temporal basis. He said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So he's telling this woman, you know what? That natural water lasts only before a while. But the spiritual water shall bring forth living waters out of your very soul that will cleanse you, that will atone you, and will make you one with the Heavenly Father, and to empower you to be a victor in this world as opposed to being a victim. And if you want to go for supporting scripture, go to John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And that's what he was trying to give her, the whole perspective scope of what his water would do, in which the natural water could never do. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So she's saying, well, just provide provisions for me, then I can just drink this water, and then I won't ask for anything else. But Jesus said to her, Jesus, now the masterful teacher, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, seeing and knew all about her as he knew all about mankind. He said, go call thy husband and come thither. And she said, now, you go tell your husband to come. I guess Jesus was telling her, go tell your husband to come and bring the provisions where the weak and the faint water. And what happened? The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. He said, now you stated and you validated that you have no husband. 18th verse, well, thou hast had five husbands. Oh my. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidest thou truly. And he said to her, now in part you told the truth, because you had five previous husbands, and the man that's living with you now is not your husband. There's no failure in God. We can't hide from God. And we're talking about we want the best that God has to offer. We have to be honest and confess our sins, knowing that he is just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So in part, she did tell the truth. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You knew this? You must be a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and ye saw, saying that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. 21st verse, Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. He said, it's coming a time that you won't even find a place of worship, whether it be in Jerusalem or in the mountains. But you know what? It cometh a time that men will not endure sound doctrine. There will be teachers having itching ears, false prophets rising up, false images, calling themselves the Messiah. And as a result of people's desperation, see, desperation will lead you down a dark road. It will lead you into the wrong path. And this is what the problem is now. We all have all these false teachers, these false ministers, these false preachers who are leading people astray because people are so desperate. They want microwave miracles. They want it to happen right now. They want their financial prosperity. I got to happen right now. I want that love relationship in my life. It got to happen right now. We want it right now. Instead of waiting on God, allowing Jesus, our Lord, to mediate on our behalf and Father God to make the provision for us, we try to make the provisions ourselves and get ourselves into a lot of turmoil. And a lot of times people go from person to person because they're trying to escape themselves. They're trying to find solitude. They're trying to find deliverance in all the wrong spaces, places, and faces. And as a result, they get themselves into a lot of trouble. Ye worship, ye know not what We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. You see, what I'm telling you about, it's not about religious organizations and establishments and congregational settings. It's about having a one-on-one relationship with God the Father. 24th verse, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is how we worship God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we go forth in prayer, when we go forth in the praying alone in the singletary unit, we must ascribe to have a relationship with Father God. This is where the healing mantle begins. Knowing the origin of who created you, knowing the origin of whose child you really are, knowing the origin of who spake you into earthly or physical existence, who keeps you, who guides you, who provides for you, who allows you, who empowers you. It is the power of God. And don't get sad, get glad. We're coming back next week to pick up on the manner of restoration, the healing mantle, so that we can go in and receive the supernatural presence of God's miraculous intervention. Have a blessed, glorious, and victorious week. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and the power is might, for God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. Have a blessed and wonderful day. You've got your host of the Most of Coast to Coast, Abby Phelps, known as your Motor City Mahavani, saying, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Have a blessed, glorious, and victorious week.